We're obviously shofar is a very big topic, very big sugya. Let's do one thing at a time. First dilemma. First halachic dilemma. What exactly is the mitzvah of tekiyah shofar? Is the mitzvah to blow the shofar, or is the mitzvah to listen to the sound of the shofar? What exactly? How do you define the mitzvah? Now, from the bracha, what is the bracha we make on the shofar? What bracha do we make? No, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu lishmoya. Lishmoya is to listen to the koil shofar. To listen. This is the nusach. This nusach comes from Chazal.
Right.
This is not a modern. This is an ancient, 2,000-year-old bracha. More than 2,000 years. We don't know what they did before 2,000 years, but this nusach goes back at least 2,000 years. The nusach asher kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu lishmoya, to listen to the koil shofar. Now, you'll say, okay, big deal, just because the brach is to listen doesn't necessarily mean that's the mitzvah. Sorry? Anshei kines hagedoyla. Goes back to the Anshei kineses hagedoyla, maybe even before the Anshei kines hagedoyla. What do they do in the Bayis Rishon? In the time of the Bayis Rishon, they make brachas? L'chara they did. I would imagine they made a bracha in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. What do they do? I don't know. We don't really know. It's not so clear what they did before the Anshei Knesses HaGadoyla, but we would imagine they also made brachas. So if you make a bracha, and the bracha is far, if at least 2,000, probably even from the time of the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. Anshei Knesses HaGadoyla started by the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, towards the very beginning, during the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. And 2,500 years old, this bracha. That seems to very clearly indicate that the bracha is to listen, not to blow the shofar. And what's the proof? The proof is because don't say the bracha l'shmoya is just, you know, it means the mitzvah is to blow, but we're describing what you do, because what about mikra megillah? The bracha is asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosim sivanu al mikra megillah. Kriyashma. How do you refer to Kriyashma? Kriyashma. It's to read the Shema, the Kriya of Shema. Okay. What are the brachas? Do we say that mention Haggadah? Is the mitzvah to lishmoya the words of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, or is the Haggadah the way how do Chazal describe the mitzvah of Sipur? Is to speak.
Haggadah
is to speak. Okay, so we have Mikra Megillah, we have the Haggadah, it's Mitzvah Daraisa of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim Haggadah, we have Kriyashma, the term that is, we make brachas, Bircha is Kriyashma. We make two brachas before, one bracha after in the morning, and at night, two brachas before.
We have to tell the Eilam which bracha goes on the Mitzvah of Kriyas Haggadah.
Okay, asking a question, so where's the bracha? Okay, let's not get into the bracha, but the way we describe the mitzvah, at the very least, is with Haggadah, with Sipur. You never heard anyone describe the mitzvah of Lel Pesach with listening, Shemias Yitzias Mitzrayim. To listen to the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Where is the bracha? Goal Yisrael? Is it the Kiddush? Is it the matz? Maybe the bracha make a matz. Maybe that's the bracha for Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Ba'avur zeh, also Hashem li, lo yamarti. Maybe there are multiple brachas. But the way we, there's no doubt about it, there's a mitzvah d'araisa lel Pesach to relate the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And the way that is described in Chazal is all over, is either with the word Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim or the Torah's word Haggadah. You never ever heard anywhere or anyone ever say that the mitzvah of Lel Pesach is to listen. Turn on the tape recorder and listen to someone give you a lecture on what happened by Yitzias Mitzrayim. The mitzvah is to relate it yourself. If a person cannot do this, the Rambam holds the father, the Reish Rabbis, you yoytzei with shoymeya ka'oine. But you're connecting yourself to the person that is doing the mitzvah in the ideal fashion through dibur. Any other examples? Okay, so we have kriya shma, the Birchos Kriyashma Sibisias Mitzrayim Mikra Megillah. There are probably a lot more. Let me try to find it in my notes, what I wrote down. Let's see if I could find it here. Here it is. That's all I wrote down. I wrote down Mikra Megillah Sibisias Mitzrayim Kriyas Haggadah, Haggadah, and the same thing, and Kriyashma. Okay, so the fact that we'd call it the barachas lishma, it seems to indicate that the mitzvah is to listen. Now, there are many, many nafkaminas if the ikar mitzvah is to listen or the mitzvah is to blow the shofar. And this, at the end, we'll cut to the chase. At the end of the day, it is a machlokes rishonim. The Rambam clearly, beyond a shadow of a doubt, defines the mitzvah to listen. Tosfos, specifically Rabbeinu Tam, says the mitzvah is to blow. He is going to have to deal with the issue of the bracha. But he holds the ikar mitzvah is not to listen. The ikar mitzvah is to actually blow the shofar to produce that sound. The Maram ben Chaviv, that's not even a rishon, that's an acharon. It's not even a rishon. He basically concludes that the halacha l'maaseh we paskin, Eilu v'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. Tosfos and the Rambam are not really arguing. Well, even though they really are arguing, but basically halacha l'maaseh, we accept both. It is the minhag in Klal Yisrael to accept the chumrois of the Rambam and Tosfos that the mitzvah is both. There are elements in shofar that relate specifically to the maaseh of blowing the shofar, and there are elements in the shofar that relate to listening to the sound of the shofar. Let's give some nafkamin to bring up the point. If the mitzvah is purely to listen to the sound of the shofar, then the truth is, if you can artificially blow the shofar, it should be good. If you bring a koif, a monkey, go to the zoo, and you bring a monkey, I've vaccinated only, come into the shul. You bring in a monkey with a mask and all the precautions into the shul, and the monkey is the world's best renowned shofar blower. It can blow a shofar like none other. That should be perfectly fine. As long as the creature takes a shofar and produces the sound, and the tzibur hears that sound, or hook up to a machine. You have a machine that blows air, a special machine designed to blow air, and you put the shofar, you attach the shofar to the machine, and it produces that sound that you need. If the only element of the mitzvah is to listen, that should definitely be sufficient. That's if you hold that the mitzvah is ishmer. Obviously, that's incorrect. Halacha l'maisa, even if a child blows the shofar, you're not yoytze. If an isha, a woman, blows a shofar for a man, there's a big shaila if you're yoytze. Halacha l'maisa, you are. But mikar hadin nashma potter, if it's a mitzvah saseh shazman groma, and nashma potter, so if an isha blows a shofar for a man, you're getting yourself involved in the shaila. Can a person who's not a bar chiyuva, can they be yoytze a person who is a bar chiyuva? So it's not the ideal thing for a woman to blow a shofar to be yoytze a man, and halacha l'maaseh, if a child blows a shofar, you are not yoytze, because obviously we hold that a chelik of the mitzvah of blowing the shofar is to blow the shofar. Now, if you want to go take that approach, that the ikar mitzvah is to blow the shofar, not to hear the sound, what happens if a person is rachmana litzlan deaf? He's deaf, and he blows the shofar. He doesn't hear. Or let's say he's not deaf, he stuffs up his ear. He puts on some of the most high-tech, ear protection device that he can literally not hear anything in the room, and he blows the shofar. Is he yoytze the mitzvah? Why not? If the ikar mitzvah, l'arfil Rabbeinu Tam, is to blow the shofar, I've blown the shofar. Yoyim teruah yelocha. It says in the Torah, it's a day of teruah. I produced the teruah. Did I hear the teruah? I don't have to hear the teruah. If the ikar is to blow, that should be sufficient. Okay, another nafkamina. Is there a principle of mitzvah boy yoytze mi b'shlucha? Obviously, not everyone can blow the shofar. And even if you're going to tell me, we'll come back to this in a moment, that the ikar mitzvah is to blow the shofar, is to blow the shofar, not everyone can blow a shofar. Blowing the shofar, Chazal say, is a chokhmah. Chokhmah ve'enu malacha. So it has to be that one person will blow the shofar and other people will listen. Is that the ideal thing to do? Maybe what would happen in Rosh Hashanah is everyone should come to shul with their own shofar. And everyone will make the bracha and everyone will take out a shofar and do their best. Why not? Can you imagine a shul? I could see this very easily. You go to Chaim Berlin, there are 1,500 people and they make the bracha. Baruch atah, right? They make the bracha and then everyone pulls out their talisman, their shofar, and you hear Koyla Yisubrakim. Everyone tries their best to blow their own tekiyas. Tekiyah, shram through a tekiyah. And when all the noise settles down and they give a clap, enough! Then for the people who blew it, pun intended, who didn't get out a good sound, well now, we'll blow, we have an expert here who's going to blow for those people who couldn't make it, who couldn't get the sound out the way it should be. But l'chatchila, let every single person give him a shot. Just like when it comes to Lulav HaNesrug, there's no such thing as, oh, the Shliach Tzibur, he has a Lulav HaNesrug, Dayenu. Right? You never heard such a thing. You know, a mitzvah shebeguf you have to do it yourself. The shliach, just because the shliach tzibur has lulav v'nesrog doesn't exempt you from taking lulav v'nesrog. Tefillin, I'll say, oh, you know, you put on tefillin for me today. I'm in a rush. I have to go to work. So you know what? Do me a taiva. You put on tefillin and be moitzi me with your putting on of tefillin. That's ridiculous. A mitzvah shebeguf you do yourself. Now, even though in this instance, obviously, it's not possible for everyone to do this mitzvah because not everyone knows how to do the mitzvah. It has to be like that because the Beis Yosef says it because it's a chokhmah and not everyone can do this chokhmah. So it has to be. There's an element of being yoytze with the tekiyos of somebody else. But if you're going to suggest that the ikar mitzvah is to actually blow the shofar, so every single person should do his best to learn the chokhmah of blowing shofar and blow shofar himself on Rosh Hashanah. We don't see that. That seems to indicate that the mitzvah is to listen to the sound of the shofar, not to actually blow the shofar. Okay, what other nafkuminas do we have? We have a question of a shofar that gezel. Let's say, for example, the shofar is stolen. It's a stolen shofar. You didn't pay the bills. Either you went to the store, you bought it, you didn't pay the credit card bill. Are you yoytze with a shofar gozel? If you hold the ikar mitzvah is to blow the shofar, so you need a chefetz, you need a shofar. So you're not yoytze. It's gozel, it's not yours. It's mitzvah bo bi'avera, it's not yours. But if the mitzvah is the sound, there's no such thing. It's obviously, it's not a nice thing to do. You're not going to get score points in Shemayim by stealing a shofar, but you cannot say that a person is not yoytze in the mitzvah of listening to the sound of the shofar where the shofar was stolen. Because it's not the shofar that you're deriving benefit from, it's the sound. And mitzvah is lav lechonos nidnu, and sound is something which is not tangible. So you be yoytze. If the shofar is iser hana, it was taken from an ir hanidachas. Ir hanidachas, the entire city is oser b'hana. The shofar is oser b'hana. And someone takes that shofar that's oser b'hana and he blows shofar. Well, someone bows down to that, a goy bows down to that shofar, even a Jew bows down to the shofar, and he worships the shofar. And now you blow from the shofar. Are you yoytze the mitzvah? Yeah. If the ikar mitzvah is the sound, I don't need something physical. The shofar is just a hechitimsa. It's a hechsher in order to produce the sound. And sound is not something that you moil. There's no source that a person can be chayv for me'ila or in violation of having pleasure from sound that is not tangible. If a person, so that's all part of the dilemma. So what is it? Can you use a shofar gozel? Can you use shofar iser hana? Does every single person in the shul need? Does every single person in the shul, would it be better that they should do it themselves than listen to the shliach tzibur blow the shofar for them? Can an isha blow a shofar? Can a katan blow a shofar? So these are all very, and what is the nusach habracha? Is the Nusach HaBracha L'shmoya Kol Shofar, or should the Nusach HaBracha be L'tkoya Es HaShofar? Person doesn't hear the sound of the Shofar, are you Yotzei? The truth says in the Gemara that you're not Yotzei. The Gemara says you take a Shofar and you blow the Shofar into a bore. Take a Shofar, you go to a big pit, and you bend down, and you put the end of the Shofar into a pit, and you blow the Shofar, you are not Yotzei. Why not? Because you did not hear the pure sound of the Shofar, you heard an echo. Who cares what you heard? The Iker Mitzvah is to blow the Shofar. So what is it? And you go through all of the halachas, they're outright contradictions. On the one hand, the bracha says it all. The bracha is l'shmoya kol shofar, to listen. Yet the halacha is the one that blows the shofar has to be a male adult that's chayiv in the mitzvah. On the other hand, if you blow a shofar or a shofar that's also other halachas, I'm going to get, I don't even know all the halachas. I don't know the halachas, but if you go through all of the halachas, you find basically contradictions. We don't find anywhere that there's a mitzvah bo yoseli b'shluchai when it comes to l'chatchila. You can let someone else blow the shofar and you listen to him blow the shofar. That means the mitzvah is to listen. It's not to blow. So why then are we so machbir that the one that blows the shofar should be a tzaddik? There's a whole shulchan aruch. Who should be the one who blows the shofar? We're looking for the ideal candidate. We don't need you. We just need the sound. You're not doing anything. The mitzvah is not to blow. It's to produce a sound. You're nothing special. How do we reconcile all of these contradictions? So the answer basically is it's both. That's what we come away with. What we come away with is that the Rambam is right and the Rebbeinu Tam is right. There are two separate dinim in the blowing of the shofar. There is the blowing of the shofar that comes from to blow the shofar, and there's a din shofar is to listen. Now, here's what's very interesting. What are the sources? This really coins the Chassam Sofer, and the Chassam Sofer and the Kesav Sofer show that it's really rooted in the psukim from which we derive the laws of shofar. I'll give you one example, and this is from the Kesav Sofer. Kesav Sofer says a very famous piece of Gemara. The Gemara says it's a contradiction. In one pasuk, it says that the mitzvah of Shofar appears twice in the Torah, Parshas Emor and in Parshas Bahaloscha.
Unless you mean something. Yeah, I'm talking about the nine times.
I'm getting confused with it. The Parsha appears at least twice. And one place, when it describes the mitzvah, Parshas Emor, it says, Zichroin Teruah.
Yeah.
The remembrance of a sound. Later, I think maybe in Parshas Re'eh, it says, Yoim Teruah. It does not say the word Zichroin. So the Gemara asks this question, it's a contradiction. Is it a zichroin? Why in one place does it say a remembrance? In another place, so along comes the Gemara. The Gemara says, the Gemara is merami. It's really, it's an asmach, because they did load the shofar in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not a real drasha. It's not a real, the Gemara is an asmach, that this is when it falls out during the week, then it's a yoim teruah. But when it falls out on Shabbos, then you don't blow. You only blow in the Beis HaMikdash. Only in the Beis HaMikdash, outside the Beis, then it's called the Zichroin Teruah. We mention it in davening, but we do not actually blow. And then the Darshan, they make a calculation. Why is it that the very first time the mitzvah appears in the Torah, does it say Zichroin? That's not the Iker. So they make this very popular calculation that the first year the Klal Yisrael blew Shofar, throughout the first year they observed Rosh Hashanah, it was Shabbos. You make the calculations, rather than the Yitzias, what day of the week did Yitzias Mitzrayim occur? The very first Rosh Hashanah, I don't know the calculation offhand, but they make the calculation, the very first year that the Klal Yisrael observed Rosh Hashanah in the Midbar, it was Shabbos. And that's why the first time the mitzvah appears, when it was being taught them the very first time, and it was Shabbos, the Pasuk says, Zichroin Teruah, Shabbos, you don't actually blow the Shofar. Then when it says it later on, for all generations, it says Yoim Teruah. Now this is not a pure draw, a real drasha, because the truth is we do blow Shofar in the Beis HaMikdash when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. But for outside the Beis Hamidrash, Takonas Chazal, it's not a deraisa. Takonas Chazal, not to blow shofar, because Shema Yaver Dal Amas Birshus Rab. Okay, that's the Gemara. Along comes the Ksav Sofer. I believe it was the Ksav Sofer. He says a beautiful word. He says, Al Derech Pshat. That's both of these pesukim together are teaching us the unique character of this mitzvah that has no equivalent. And that is, on the one hand, it's a day of a Yom Teruah. The mitzvah is to blow. Mitzad Sheni, the mitzvah is a zikaroin.
It's Pinchas, by the way.
Not Parashas Ray. It doesn't say Yom Teruah. So what does it say? Well, it is a brilliant idea. There are two pasukim. One is Yom Teruah, and the other pasuk is Zichroim Teruah. Together, these two pasukim create a complete picture of the mitzvah. The Yom Teruah refers to the Baal Tokeah. There shall be a male adult who is a representative of Klal Yisrael, of the Tzibur, that it fulfills the element of the Teruah, a day of Teruah. But then the Tzibur, they participate in being the Zichroim Teruah. They're passive. They're not blowing the shofar. By them it's in the mind. Hearing the sound is called, hearing the sound, this is waking up in their mind what he calls a zikaroin of a teruah. They're not actually blowing the teruah. Their mind is becoming active in hearing that sound, and their mind is now, he calls this awareness, called a zikaroin, zichroin teruah. The Baal Tokea is fulfilling the pasuk in Emor, and the people in the shul, the listeners, are fulfilling the pasuk in Pinchas. You have two chumashim open in shul. The Baal Tokea, you represent the chumash Vayikra, and the Tzibor is representing Parashas Pinchas, chumash Bamidbar. And together you create the composite of Yoim Teruah with Zichroin Teruah. Now, why do you have to say this? Why can't we say, very simply, that the mitzvah is to blow the shofar? Just like we have a mitzvah of Nikra Megillah, and we have a mitzvah of Kriya Shema, and we have a mitzvah of Haggadah. According to the Rambam, when you go to your family Seder, there's only one Haggadah. The Reish Habayis. He is the only one that has the Haggadah. Everyone else, listen. Just sit there and listen. Yoyotze with Shoimeya Ke'oine. Berov Am Hadas Melech demands that the ideal way to do a mitzvah is by listening. Birchas Hamas, even today, the Sfardim. The Yemenites, for sure. I go once in a while, I visit someone, I have a friend who's a Yemenite. Really, his wife is a Yemenite. And when his father-in-law comes, he gives the whole house to his father-in-law. He gives him a lot of covet. And he takes over the whole bayit. When the father-in-law comes, he sits b'roish, and they have all the Yemenite men hugging whenever he comes. The person I know is not a Yemenite. He's far from a Yemenite. But his wife is a Yemenite. So when her father comes, he takes over the house. And I was there once for benching. No one says a word. No one says a word. He recites the entire benching, Mila b'Mila, and they all listen carefully to his recital. Everyone at the family table.
The answer Amen.
The answer Amen. Of course the answer Amen. Of course. The answer Amen to it. That's what it really should, that's what it says the Mishnah Berurah should be done. The Mishnah Berurah says that's how we should do it. The only reason why we do not do this is because our attention span has been limited to a fraction of a second. We, unfortunately, in our generation, have a hard time concentrating for the shortest amount of time. And if you're going to sit at the dining room table and listen to someone recite the entire benching, Mila b'Mila, your mind is gone. Therefore, try to say it yourself. Maybe you'll be lucky enough to actually concentrate. Maybe. Halavai. Halavai, but it's going to be definitely more of a chance, statistically, there's more of a chance that you will concentrate if you're saying the words yourself than if you're listening to someone else say it on your behalf. L'may nafkamina, al-hamichya. Al-hamichya is not all that long, the Mishnah Berurah says, not all that long. And if al-hamichya, he feels that southern people should be able to listen to.
Kiddush.
And if you go to a kiddush, the ideal thing to do is, one person should recite the Al HaMichi on behalf of everyone. Even though Birchas HaMazon, you should not do that because that's already too long, four blessings. It's a little bit too long. Al HaMichi, it's short enough that ideally, but even that people today can't handle. Even that, well, even that everyone...
You Yiddish at night, you know, you may say Yom HaShishi, that's what the purpose of Sabrima and
all. Right, but the Nusach Svard, Hasidim, they all make their own Kiddush. Nusach Svard, even that they don't do. Nusach Svard, everyone makes their own Kiddush. Nusach Svard, I mean the Hasidim. Hasidim, everyone makes their own Kiddush. Even that they don't do. But the point is...
In Rav Miller's school, the Seder, he always, one person uses to say the Yom HaMichi with everyone.
At the end of the Seder.
At the Kiddush.
One person said the Al Nochem, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says to do. Yeah. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. But the point is, what's the pshat? How does it work? Why is that the halacha? There's a principle called Shoimeya Ke'oine. Listening is equivalent to Dibur. And the Gemara learns this principle from Droshas. There are multiple Droshas. The Gemara has a whole Arichus. In Berachah, it's how do you know Shemei Ka'ina? How do you know the Gemara quotes Pesukim? It says this, these words are all interchanged. I don't remember the whole long Gemara. The Gemara proves solid, Shemei as a din d'arais. So just say by Shofar, Shemei Ka'ina. You understand? Shemei Ka'ina. So here's the Chiddush. Whoever said you can say the principle Shemei Ka'ina by sound? All of the examples Shomea Koine are intelligible speech. Dibur, words, thoughts, concepts. Dibur is a sophisticated concept, communication. You say what? Baruch Atah Hashem. This is a sophisticated form of communication, of expression, of this is called Dibur. Is the sounds of the shofar, it's a dilemma, a very big dilemma. Is the sound of the shofar, is that called a dibur? Or is that just sound? What exactly is the sound that comes out of the shofar? What is it?
But the mitzvah, like here, shofar, the mitzvah, you're not being yosef in Shemeya Ka'ida. You're being yosef because the mitzvah is to hear. You're here.
So why do we need a command to that? See, that's the dilemma. See, some Rishonim, they actually say the words Shemeya Ka'ina, they actually use those words. The other Rishonim, they stay away like the plague. They stay away from those words. This is the debate. What exactly is Shemeya Ka'ina, and what exactly are the sounds of the Shofar? We have a principle of Shemeya Ka'ina, and the Gemara Masechta Brachos approves. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, there is such a principle. But all of the examples the Gemara uses is where there is a sophisticated form of expression of dibur, words. You express yourself, Baruch Atah Hashem. You lay in the Megillah, Vayihi Bimei Achashverosh. Okay, Chazal have taught us that when a person expresses himself with intelligence, in a sophisticated form of dibur, there is a principle, you say it for me. I will listen and it will be equivalent to me saying it like you. But when the person blows the shofar, he produces a sound. What is that? Is that a dibur? Is that a sophisticated form of expression? The Morse code. What is it? What is this? So some will tell you, yes, it is. It is the most sophisticated form of communication. It's some code that we're not aware of. But there's actual communication. There is dibur. It's no less than Baruch Atah Hashem Elokim Melech Olam. I said words. I've communicated with a higher being. Or Vayihi Bimei Achashverosh. I am relating to my fellow men in this room. I want to tell you a story. Let me communicate with you. Let me relate a story. When you blow the shofar, what are you doing exactly? It's a big mystery. Are you communicating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You're sending him a message? Is he sending you a message? And you're just a tool to be a receiver? I'm a receptacle. I'm producing a sound. The sound is not my sound. It's Hashem's. Hashem is beaming down to this world a message. I just happen to be the object that's going to bring out that message. Am I talking to myself? Am I talking to my fellow man? Is my fellow man talking to me? I mean, this is a big mystery. What exactly is this mitzvah all about? Am I crying? You learn that from Aim Sisera. She cried. She cried. Vatiyabeb Aim Sisera. She cried. Where is my son? Where is he? How come he has not returned from the battlefield? Is that the makar of what we're trying to do? We're crying? Who are we crying to? She was crying to Hashem. She certainly was not crying to Hashem. What was she crying about? Her own tzar. Well, so we said, no, it's not her. It's a medish. We're just using Aim Sisera as a dugma for Sara Imenu. When Sara Imenu heard that Yitzchak went on the Akedah, she cried. What was she crying? And then she died. She cried and she died. What was she crying about? She's crying to Hashem. She's crying tears of joy. We just went over here crying today. We went over here by the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach, the Noshim who are crying. There's tears of joy, tears of tsar, of anguish. I mean, we can sit the whole day and start fiddling around and try to figure out. And every idea you can possibly think about already was said by someone. There are many, and the truth is they're all right. They're all true. There are 100 dimensions to what exactly you're trying to accomplish when you blow the shofar. Is the shofar a code? It's when you take the 100 koilos or the 30 koilos, you have actually spoken a sophisticated language. It's like a Morse code. It's a Morse code that takes 30 koilos to get it out. I'll give you an example. This blew my mind. I never heard this before. And I have no idea. I'll tell you, I did this right. Mordechai Kornel. He's one of my years ago. I haven't been in contact with him in 100 years, but many years ago, he still has the Institute for the Learning of the Daf. He was probably the first one to take the Daf Yomi online before anyone else, before all Daf and this Daf and that Daf. There are only now 1,001 Daf Yomis on. He was the first going back when the internet first came into existence. And he used to put it also, he was one of the first people to put out, he said on email, Chidushim on the Parsha. Brilliant, original, creative Chidushim, which is subsequently published in a volume called Torah from the Internet. They would never call that a book like that today, so they would never ever dare have a title like that today. Never in a million years. And there on Parsha, so go get it online, you probably go to Torah from the Internet, by Mordechai Kornfeld. And in Parshas, probably Parshas Bo, or Vo'era, or maybe B'Shalach, he says something I never heard before, I never heard after. I probably never will. I asked Rav Dr. Harav, Dr. Colonel Shlomo Kohn Shlita, our resident expert on language. On language, he told, and I asked him, he says there, Datzach, Yerbihuda Hoyenoisein Bohem Simonim, Datzach Adash Be'achav. So he writes in the book that in Egypt, in the Egyptian language, in ancient Egyptian language, if you were to find a dictionary, it doesn't exist, on the ancient Egyptian language, well, let's say they had Google Translate years ago, 3,000 years ago, and you type in Datzach Adash Biachav and asked Google then, 3,000 years ago, to translate that to you into English, it would translate, I will murder or I will kill your firstborn son. The words Datzach Adash Be'achav is not just Roshei Tevas, Dam, Tzardeya, Kinim, Orov, Dever, Shchim. It is an actual Egyptian expression. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu in the very beginning of Yitzias Mitzrayim, go tell Paro, B'ni B'chorei Yisrael, Hinni Horeg, as Bechorecha. The very beginning of Yitzhak, the Moshe, Hashem says Moshe to Paro, tell Paro that the Jewish people are my firstborn and I will kill your firstborn. Hinni Horeg es Bechorecha. Datzach Adash Be'achav is the Egyptian translation of Hinni Horeg es Bechorecha. Three words. Datzach Adash Be'achav. Now go prove that. Go prove that. That Datzach Adash Be'achav in ancient Egypt language means I will murder, it's the Targum in Egypt, I will kill your firstborn. What am I telling this to you for? You see here, there are a lot of languages out there. Language is a big deal. A lot of languages. maybe when we blow 30 koilos, or by expansion, we blow 100 koilos, and we blow it in an order, in the sophisticated order, how all the different ways to do it, different opinions on how to do it, we're just doing Morse code. It's Morse code. There's some type of language that maybe we're not, maybe the dolphins know what we're talking about, or maybe some other creature out there in this world, maybe they understand the language. We don't know the language, but there's some creature out there in the world that knows, and that's why they're UFOs. Don't you know that's why they're UFOs today? Everyone is obsessed with the UFOs, because finally, after all these years, they hear our tekiyos. They hear our tekiyos. They're coming for us. They're coming to save us from ourselves. They're coming. It's a language. Oh, it's a language. Oh, it's a language. It's a sophisticated form of expression. Shemea ko'iner. Shemea ko'iner. Just like the Shemea ko'iner, when you make a bracha, when you say kriyashma, when you say the Megillah. So if you're going to tell me that the blowing of the tekiyos is a language, and there's some type of intelligent communication, Shemea ko'iner. But not everyone likes that idea. Whoever told you that it's a language? I don't know what you're talking about, a language? I never heard this Morse code before. Who made this up? This is just sound. What letter is it? What letter do you really blow with? This is one of my favorite things at Rosh Hashanah. What sound are you blowing? The letter Tess. The sound of the shofar is the letter Tess. How do you know this? When the Gemara describes the sound of the shofar, it's called tut, tes vav tes, which means the Gemara has some type of electronic device where they take all the letters and they figure out electronically what is the sound, and they have determined that the sound of the shofar is the sound of the letter tes.
Like tooting your horn. Toiv.
What?
Yeah. Tooting your horn.
Yeah, the letter tes. What is tes?
Toot your horn.
Toiv. The letter test is toiv. You mean mispah Hashem? Bring vayar lekim es kol asher osa v'hinei tekiyah gedoyla toiv me'oid. Toiv. That's the letter test. Okay. So is that what's going on here? When you blow that shofar, is it a language? Is it a letter? Is it a sound? Are we receiving a communication? What difference does it make? No, it makes a big difference. Because the pashtus is, the only time you could apply a principle of shemea ko'iner is a sophisticated form of communication. We have no makar. You can't go tell me, you can't put on tefillin for me. And I can't put on for you. I can't be yoytzeh, I can't eat matzah for you, and you can't eat matzah for me. So if you blow shofar, good for you. I'm not yoytzeh with your blowing of the shofar. You want to go blow shofar? Good for you. Go blow all you want. I can't be yoytzeh with your shofar. Where do you get this thing? I can be yoytzeh with your blowing of the shofar. Shemea ko'ineh. What are you talking about? Shemea ko'ineh is where there's something called dibur. Whoever said that the sound is dibur. So you want to stretch it? You want to know the shofar is sound. It's dibur. It's the letter tes. It's a cry. It's bakasha. It's a sophisticated Morse code. All right. If you accept that, then I accept. We're going to make a bracha. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu al tekiya shofar. And we're going to listen to your sound. We should really do al mikra shofar. That's what we should really say. On the call of the mikra, the reading of the, well, not, I'll take a shofar and I'll be yoytzeh with shemea ke'oineh. But a lot of the Rishonim don't like that. They don't say that. They say it's not necessarily a sophisticated form of communication. If it's not a sophisticated form of communication, so how then can I be yoytzeh with your blowing? How can I be with you? So, the Kasav Sofer says, Gezeiras HaKosuv. There are two psukim in the Torah. One pasuk says, Yoim Teruah. Another pasuk says, Zichrayim Teruah. The pasuk is saying there's a team. The way the mitzvah is done is, one person does the Teruah, and the other person is the zichron teruah. And the mfarshim, they elaborate, it can't be that the Torah told every person to blow. Because Chazal, they were scientists, and they analyzed and they concluded that shofar, it's impossible for every person to know how to blow a shofar. Shofar is called a chokhmah. Chokhmah ve'eina melacha. Not every person is capable of blowing a shofar. That's what they, it's a chokhmah. Not everyone has this chokhmah. It cannot be the Torah is telling you to do something you cannot do. This cannot be. This is a fundamental principle in Judaism. The Torah does not set up a person for failure.
This is a deaf person blow a shofar?
What?
Can a deaf person blow a shofar?
For someone else? Pashas says no, because he's Potter. Since he is Potter, go look at Shulchan Aruch. What Shulchan Aruch says, maybe I'm wrong, yeah, this is all in Shulchan Aruch. Pashas says no, because he cannot, he's not ideal, put it like that. He's like an Isha, he's Potter. Because since he cannot hear, he cannot be Yotze himself.
They can feel the vibrations.
No, vibration is not called sound. You're saying a tremendous Chiddush. Person can't hear, but can sense sound waves. Is that equivalent to Shania? I don't know. I don't know the answer. I would imagine not. I would imagine you always have to go Baderech Yosha. Sound is sound. Sound is a sensation of listening. You want to say a Chiddush. Vibrations. Alecha, all of Lahavi Ro'oya, that vibrations is okay. What about the hearing implant? What's it called? The
cochlear implant.
How do you pronounce it? The
cochlear
implant.
Or hearing aid.
Hearing aid. So that bypasses your ear entirely, goes straight into your brain.
Not hearing aids. Hearing aids.
Okay. Not hearing aids.
No, yeah.
Hearing is a different Shiloh.
Right.
The implant. The implant completely bypasses the ear. Completely. Does not use your ear at all. It goes right into the brain. So are you Yoitse? Could a person, you'll be Yoitse, because you can listen to the Shofar, because can that person blow Shofar for someone else? Lechatchila. Because he has a different sense of hearing. You know, on the one, I hear. What do you want from me? I hear. But the way that person hears is not the same. I don't know the answer.
Rabbi Shachatov, in the sefer that he made,
Yes.
So he goes through the whole thing, which is better considered more natural hearing, the hearing aid,
okay,
which is really a microphone,
okay,
or the cochlear implant, which is what you're saying, it
bypasses.
Some people say the cochlear implant is better.
Right. I can say, I hear it both ways. Right.
So
there's no doubt at the end of the day will be machlokes apayiskin. You say a svara like this, svara like that, and that's very good. Eil of yemel, you can say svaras who's the kubi machria, yeah?
But what you mentioned about the Ksav Sefer, according to the Ksav Sefer, why didn't, instead of saying Zichron Jewel, why didn't the Torah say the Shemot Jewel?
Oh, so obviously,
what are you starting up with
obviously, for? The Torah is teaching you something very profound. It's not a quince to listen. Listen, right now you can listen, you can hear the humming of the lights, you'll hear the someone at the sink right now, someone opens the door. Do you pay attention to this? I remember my father's in Barapa. He lived in New Utrecht Avenue. Okay, so we used to go visit my grandparents every Sunday on the train, New Utrecht Avenue, and you get off the train, he lived Mamish, Dalit Amis, away from the train. Every time. Now, the trains today are much better. I mean, today they invested probably $1 billion in trying to have the train sound, not to make so much noise. If you know, if you go on the train, they're half electric ready, the trains, and they make less noise. But in those days, though the trains, they made a lot, they were all mechanical, fully mechanical. And when the train went by, the whole bar park shakes. I'm not joking. The whole bar talk show. It's much better now. They're much more. They did redo the tracks. They have much better trains. Have shock absorbers and it's electric and some ice. But those days, you remember the old trains? They're totally mechanical. The whole bar talk. So I remember. I was saying, how do you sleep at night? How did you do anything? Every set. My father said, I never heard it.
That's right, you become a
mule. Never heard it. totally immune to it. It's not a kunz to hear. The kunz is the trigger. The zichroin means hearing plus. You hear, but you really hear. Doher. It's not to this to listen and this to doher. And it's in Yiddish, doher, to hear good. Zichroin means to hear good. That is what the post says. So it's a brilliant idea. What he says. The Ksav Soifer, you got a team. You got a team here, it's like a baseball team. You got a team. There's the blower, and you have the listeners. And it has to be that way, because it cannot possibly be that the Torah demands that every single person should blow the shofar. Because it's a chokhmah, ain't a melacha. And the Torah is not here to set you up for failure. The Torah, it cannot possibly be the Torah is giving you a mitzvah that you cannot do. Torah is not setting up for failure. Therefore, the Torah obviously wants one person to do it and other people should listen. Oh, so how are you going to apply that rule? Oh, the classic rule. Shemayak, we have a lot of psukim, we have a whole list of psukim around the block waiting to provide us with the answer of Shemayak Ha'ineh. All of you guys are dismissed because this is not speech. This is not intelligible speech for the average person when you hear these sounds. What are you talking about? 2, 2, 2, what is this? You're telling me it's some code? Come on. The Torah was not given to Malachi Hasharis. It was given to the common man. The common man doesn't know this language. And if you don't know this language, even though there may very well be a language in this sound, but you cannot apply the rules of Shemei Ha'Koine. You can't apply Shemei Ha'Koine, and I can't do it myself. How am I going to be going to the mitzvah? To listen? That's not what it says. It says Yom Teruah. Hashem came to save us. Zichron Teruah. One is the Yom Teruah, one is the Zichron. It's unbelievable, right? You put these two together.
Zichron is higher than Shmiah.
What?
Zichron is higher.
Definitely. Zichron is the result of Shmiah. Shmiah is the trigger. Shmiah is the trigger, and the Zichron is the effect. It's doher. In Yiddish, it's this to listen and this to doher. Means to really get it.
It's like you go to a shiur and hear every single word and not know anything that means.
Exactly. A man who was a Rashid who said, gave a shiur, and he said, if the Talmidim don't jump, it means they didn't understand what he said. They were sitting there listening to the shiur. If when he says a chiddush, he doesn't see them jump. They're not even excited. They doesn't see any life.
It's fine. Breathing.
It's nothing. It means that, and yeah, they heard the words, goes in one ear out the other ear, that's not called hearing. Zichroin Teruah. Listen to the sounds. So this, now there's another Mahalik, the Chasam Sofer himself says something a little bit differently. He says, when the Gemara, the Torah, when Torah says Yom Teruah, what does that mean? What do you mean a day of Teruah? Teruah just means to shout. So you know how you shout? You ever dive in the Hasidisha Shtibloch, Hasidisha, you know, the big Hasidisha Shtibloch? Like in Stalin? I don't know. So I once spent the whole summer davening in a Hasidisha place. I couldn't take it. I mean, it was really, really nice, and there are many incredible things I took out of it. At the end of it, I got used to it. But Psukim de Zimra, they scream. They smamish, scream out, and you go to shul and they're screaming. Baruch she'amar v'hoya, they scream, the whole, they scream, they mamish scream. I can't take this, I'm going out of my mind. I like the Litvax. They sit, they shuckle quietly. Eichocho chal v'ruiz. You know, still hate. Don't disturb the dead. They. So how do you know that Yom Teruah means you take a horn of an animal and you put it between your lips and you blow air in a very unique way to get sound? How do you know that's what Yom Teruah is? So the Gemara has two separate, completely separate drashas, and you can slice the two drashas with a nice sharp knife. One drasha involves making gzeir shava from Rosh Hashanah to Yovel. to the Yom Kippur of the year of Yovel, where it says Yom, where it says there, it says a shofar. V'havartem shofar, v'havartem
shofar
throughout the entire land. It says where the havara, it shall pass through the land, the shofar. It doesn't say it doesn't say the word tekiah there. It says, and what does it mean there? V'havartem shofar, to it means there, from the context, it seems pretty clear, at least according to the Chasam Sofer, it means a sound should be heard on the Yom Kippur of Yovel. The Bezin HaGadol blows the shofar, and that's a declaration. It's now Yovel, and everyone goes back. There is no mention of blowing. The word tekiah does not appear there.
Just the word shofar.
Just the word shofar. That's one source. And then the Gemara has a completely different source. They learn that from the Beis HaMikdash. Usikatem b'chatzotzreis. You shall blow the trumpets.
It says true.
And there it says, there the Gemara, there there's a the Gemara is, I don't know the whole drush, but the Gemara there goes from the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, they would blow trumpets on Rosh Chodesh, on the Moadim. They blew trumpets, they blew trumpets throughout the year. Okay, on all the different Moadim. They blew trumpets, and with the trumpets, Chazal said, there's also a shofar. The Gemara makes an elaborate drasha to show how do you know that on Rosh Hashanah you're supposed to go blow with an object. So the Chasam Sofer says, this is the machloikis. It all comes down to this. Which is the correct, or the ikor, the primary source for blowing a shofar on Rosh Hashanah? If the primary source comes from Yovel, Yom Kippurim, that is an indication that the mitzvah is to listen to the sound. Because on Yom Kippur of Yovel, it's clear, it's the sound, it's not the blowing. V'havartem shofar, it doesn't say the word tekiah there.
It says
truah.
Yeah.
What does it say? It says truah, but it doesn't say the word to blow. True, okay, true. And that the truah shall pass. What does it mean that it shall pass? Take the word truah, v'havartem, in his understanding, it means the sound of that truah shall pass through the land, which means to listen. To listen. According to, but the other drasha, we go to the Beis HaMikdash and they blew the trumpets. Every time you blow a trumpet, you're also blowing a shofar. There it says the word usikate, to blow explicitly. It doesn't just say Yom Teruah, utikatem, to blow. Then the primary mitzvah is to blow the shofar, not just to listen to the sound of the shofar. So according to basically what Halacha Lamaisa, I mean, the Chasam Sofer says you have two drashas. Pick which one you like. If you hold Ikka drasha is Usakata Bachatzaitra, it's the mitzvah of blowing trumpets on Rosh Chodesh and the Moadim, and when there's a war, then Rosh Hashanah, the primary mitzvah is to blow. How are you going to be Yotze? Well, it has to be, you can be Yotze with listening, even though it's not really like, you know, the Chasam Sofer fills them in. Because it can't, it's a chokhmah ve'ein a melacha, or maybe you'll say shemei, maybe you'll tell me a radical pshat. There is shemei ha'ko'ine, even if it's not intelligible speech. Maybe, but the ikar is to blow. But if you hold the ikar drasha comes from yoivel, v'havartem shofar tenua b'chol artzachem, then the ikar mitzvah is to listen. Halacha l'maisa, what do? Both. Halacha l'maisa, we take it very seriously. And we accept that both of them are a chelik of the mitzvah. So Allah sechazo very in 60 seconds. What do we learn today? Comes to Rosh Hashanah, there's a mitzvah to blow shofar. What exactly is the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah to blow the shofar, or is the mitzvah to listen to the sound of the shofar? There are 10 nafkamins. If the mitzvah is to blow the shofar, mitzvah boy, yoyse mibeshluchai, do it yourself. You should do it yourself. Number two, more than that, no one, maybe no one can do it for you. Just like no one can put on tefillin for you, no one can eat matzah for you, no one can take lulav for you, so blow the shofar yourself. You're going to listen? There's no shomei ha'koneh. It's not a dibor, it's just a funny sound. There's nothing to blow. If the mitzvah is blowing, if Rachmana litzlan, a person is deaf, or for whatever reason he puts it over his ears, he can't hear, he's yoytze, he produced the sound. If the mitzvah is to listen, so we don't even need a person to blow, put a machine. Have a machine that blows the air and just put the shofar to the machine and have hear the sound. Child and Isha, what difference does it make? If the mitzvah is to listen, as long as the sound is produced. If the mitzvah is to listen, even if the shofar was stolen, or if it's asa b'hana, it should be good. These are major nafkaminas. What is the bracha? Shema, to listen or to tekeah? And the answer is basically halacha l'maisa. Even though the Rambam says it's listening and the Taisa says that it's blowing, halacha l'maisa, we go like Maran Chaviv, it's really both. There are two elements of both. Where does it come from? So there are two different mahalchim. Kesav Soiv is a beautiful idea. Yoim Terua and Zichroim Terua. It's a team. It's a partnership. That's what the mitzvah is. We said the svar of the Chasam Soif, the Chasam Soif says there are two drosh in the Gemara. How do you know you blow this? It's Terua. Maybe you should scream on top of your lungs. How do you know that's with a tool? There are two Mukaris in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. One comes from Yovel and one comes from the Beis HaMikdash. If it comes from Yovel, that's to listen. If it comes from the Beis HaMikdash, it's to blow. And then we introduce the Svara. Even if the mitzvah would be to blow, can you be Yoit with Shemei Ka'ineh? That's a very big question. What exactly is Shemei Ka'ineh? Shemei Ka'ineh is only taught us in a situation where there's intelligent communication. Are we to say the sound of the shofar is an intelligent communication, that it's eligible to be a candidate for Shemei Ka'ineh? Who says maybe yes, maybe not? Okay, so these are the major ideas of the sugya of, is it the shmiya or the tkiya? We'll stop here. Thank you for coming. Have a wonderful day.
Have a good day, everyone.
Rain stop.
Only for sure.